Lord, thank you, Jesus. I just pray that your word would go forth this morning and that nothing of me would go forth, Lord. I just pray everything of myself would just die. And Lord, that you would just speak through me this morning. And I just submit to you and I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just empower me to just speak with boldness and just to speak your word. Your truth, in Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, I'd like to share a quick story, if that's okay. So if you know me, I actually really dislike driving. Is anyone else like that? Come on. Actually, I was driving yesterday all the way out to Silverwater. I was like, I forgot how much I really dislike driving. There's like so much traffic in Sydney. So before I got married to Raina, I was actually living in St. Ives. Does anyone know where St. Ives is? Yeah, so it's North Shore. It's kind of where I first moved when I moved to Sydney. And I started dating Raina, and she lived in Carlingford. So it wasn't too bad, but you know what Sydney traffic's like, it gets pretty bad. So usually it took me like an hour sometimes, like at tops, to get from St. Ives to go all the way to Carlingford. And remember, I hate driving. I hate it, right? But the thing is, when you love somebody, it doesn't really matter, does it? Like, because when I got in the car, I was just so excited. Well, most of the time, I was really excited. Unless I had a bad day or something. I was generally excited. I wanted to see Raina because I was in love with her. We're not really lovey-dovey or anything, but nothing was going to stop me from going to see her. So I just would get in the car, drive, and I just looked forward to seeing her. I just wanted to hang out with her. And have you guys ever seen someone fall in love? I'm sure you all have. I mean, one minute they can be the rudest, most obnoxious, crazy out there person. And then when they fall in love, they become this quiet, sensitive love puppy. And then like, you're following their Facebook and Instagram. It's like, love you, babe, hashtag. And it's like, you know, come on. We all know someone like that. We're definitely not like that. We always are like, oh, I often unfollow people like that, but you know, we all know people like that. It's cool. It's good. But people change when they love someone. You can see it on their face and in the way they talk when people are in love. And the thing is, we got to have that same love for Jesus. See, if we love him, our lives actually start to change. Our demeanor softens. Our life becomes so different. Amen? So here's the tough question for us. What do our lives actually look like if we claim to follow Jesus? Are we actually different? Are we becoming more like him? Are we more loving? So there it is. That's just, now I'll get to my message. That's just a little thing I wanted to throw out there. So we're going to be reading from James chapter 3. Got to find it. So just follow along because we're going to be reading out of the NIV, but I'm also going to take a bit out of the Message remix. Please don't judge me because I use the Message. No judgment. It's cool. God can use anything. All right, cool. So it says this from chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's so encouraging. Thank you, God. But it's true. You know, people who preach or teach from the platform, they actually, when they come before God, they are accountable for everything they've taught. It's actually pretty scary. I've got a fear of the Lord for that. And verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble. Like, let me say that. Like, no one is perfect, and I know you might think I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. Every single person stumbles, like everybody. Everybody you know stumbles in one way or another. He goes on to say, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example, although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a weld of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. It's getting pretty deep, isn't it? Sorry. And is itself set on fire by hell. Hectic. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Okay, just let me stop there for a sec. I just want to say this, right? Words have so much power. And I don't know, maybe you don't believe me. You're like, oh, whatever. But let me say this, right? If words don't have any power, then why do I still remember clear as day, like what my deputy principal said to me one day in front of my class. It was a pretty negative thing that he said. And at the time, I was like 12, so I was already struggling with a lot of self-worth, and my future was, I didn't know where my future was heading. And it actually affected me for many, many years, and I carried it around like a rotten disease on the inside of me until I met Christ, right? And that's the power of words. And I reckon that most of us here this morning can actually still remember some kind of negative word spoken over us. I mean, I'd probably would bet, I know we're not supposed to gamble, but I could probably say I could bet that most of us here have had a teacher or a loved one, or worse, even like a pastor, say something negative about us or about who we are, right? And sometimes we can actually often outweigh the positive things that people have said about us with the negative words people have used towards us. So here's a quick example. So just the other day, I was telling you guys I was at a conference playing guitar and whatever. I was in a rehearsal, and all these, you know, great loving Christians were like, oh, yeah, you play really good. And I actually didn't remember what any of them said. I just remembered this one kind of negative remark. Some guy came up to me and was like, oh, yeah, you should really consider what you're playing. You're kind of playing too many things. Just stick to one part. You don't really sound that good. And I was like, oh, like really cut by that. And this is coming from like a drummer who doesn't like play guitar or anything. But isn't that crazy that I block out all the positive stuff and I can remember that kind of little negative thing, right? And as James puts it, words have the power to corrupt our whole being. That blows my mind. And I'm not talking about, we now have to become these positive word-speaking people who wake up every morning and go to the mirror and like, yeah, you're awesome. You're going to have a great day. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm not saying, oh, we got to go to self-help gurus and hit the gym and treat ourselves like kings. And it's not even about taming our own tongue. Just go with me. I know you're probably thinking, what? Just go with me. I'll explain. Like, you know how sometimes we're like, oh, I'll just be nicer from now on. Get a swear jar. Who knows if we had a swear jar, we'd probably be able to pay for like a massive TV. Oh, just me? Okay, never mind. Just remember, we all stumble. I'm pretty good, though, lately. I don't really swear. But, you know, if we keep going like that, eventually it actually gets too hard to keep under control, and it all actually blows up. And then you're just like, stuff this, I'm going to be real and genuine. And then you've all heard that saying, if you can't handle me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at my best. Anyone heard that? Okay. No one's heard of that. Okay, a few people. But, you know, you can be like, I'm going to keep it real from now on. And then you're just like, oh, yeah, you know that last song you guys sang in church? It stinks. You're ugly. You're an idiot. Your jeans are too tight. It's gone really quiet. I just got to find myself in the verse. So if we look at verse 8, you ready for this? James 3, verse 8. But no human being can tame the tongue. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Sorry, it's getting really deep, but that's cool. I mean, I've been really convicted this, like, just preparing this message, like, in the words I choose to speak. Goes on to verse 9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Sorry, this is really convicting for me. And like, yeah, we can come here week after week to church and sing songs, which I love to do. Like I was, you know, singing my heart out this morning, and I love to do that. And we can tell everyone how much we love God, while at the same time we can actually overlook and belittle other people who are made in the likeness of God. It's gone really quiet. Verse 10. Goes on in verse 10. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Crazy to think that out of the same mouth we can bless God and actually curse other people. And maybe when we start swearing, the go-to saying shouldn't be, oh, you kiss your mother with that mouth, but you bless the Lord with that mouth. See, every human being is made in the image of God, and it doesn't matter what race you are, every human is made in His likeness. And I actually think that God feels it when we actually curse humans. And that's like when we are like, oh, I don't want to hang out with that person because they're too needy. Come on, anyone? Well, that's me. I'm preaching to myself here. Or I don't want to hang out with them because they have a different social status to me. Or I don't like the way they look. But luckily, we're all good looking here, so it's fine. It's fine. Or I'm too busy. Radical things are dropping. It's awesome. Come on, when has God ever been too busy to listen to us? And you know, many people go out and choose their church these days, and it's a bit like going clothes shopping. Many people go out and choose the church that kind of fits in with their way of thinking and their tradition. It's their style. It shares their similar beliefs, but it's not necessarily the truth. And it's like James is almost saying in this passage, you know, it's really cool that you guys come and sing, pray, and say hallelujah, amen. But you guys can't even love somebody who doesn't look like you or who isn't Jewish, right? He's talking to his Jewish brothers and sisters here. And you see, the 12 tribes, they were really stuck in their traditions. Like if we read through the book of Leviticus, anyone? Anyone's read through that? Well done. It's a very, very hard book. But they had laws to follow, right? And it was unclean for a Jewish person to be with a Gentile. That was just big no-no. So James is actually trying to break their tradition a little bit here. And I think all of us have actually been brought up with traditions in one way or another. And often, we actually become super comfortable and set in our ways, and we can actually trick ourselves into thinking that because we are comfortable with these traditions, that this tradition is actually the truth. When Jesus talks about this in Mark 7:8, and he says, it's the tradition of man that does not allow the gospel to work in people's lives. Preaching to myself. And if you're anything like me, you can. Well, I know I take a bit of my tradition. You know, I come from a charismatic Pentecostal kind of background, and I can actually take that as my. I take that as my tradition sometimes, and then I put a little bit of truth there. So I take tradition, a bit of truth, and then I just make my own path. It's a bit like this, right? Okay, here's a really good analogy. So who knows, I can't really cook. You guys might need to pray for me after the service, like a miracle for my cooking life. But a few weeks ago, I tried to make Rainer a home-cooked meal. But I didn't have all the ingredients, and I ended up pretty much substituting almost half of the ingredients. You know, it was like, oh, no lemon juice. Oh, just pour a little bit of vinegar in. No Chinese broccoli. Oh, don't worry, we just won't have any vegetables. No oyster sauce. Oh, just put some fish sauce in. And guess what? What was the end product? Yeah, it was a super creative, awesome dish. No, it absolutely wasn't. It was a poor imitation of the original recipe, right? It was a flavorless, much lacking all the nutrients. So I'm sorry, Raina. Very sorry. But you see, when we stray from the truth, which is like, you know, I'm talking about this as a recipe, we end up substituting it with our own truth, and we actually water things down. And sometimes we make it totally different, and we make a blend. It's like a tasteless dish, right? We got to be, can I just say, we can't be 99% gospel. We got to be 100% gospel. And like, I don't think we have to be, I'm just going to say, we don't have to be theologians to understand some things in the Bible, right? Some things in the Bible are pretty, they're pretty clear as day. Like, love your neighbor. Come on, like, do I really seriously need a theological degree to understand how to love my neighbor? It's getting really quiet. We just make our own recipe. James is kind of telling us, like, that's us making our own truth. And that's us actually being our own God, in a way. And who knows that we're not meant to be God. And in this passage, James is totally contradicting their traditions. It's like he's saying, you love Jesus, but you won't even interact with people outside of your comfort zones and traditions. And he's saying, well, that's actually not okay. So let's not let any tradition get in the way of truth. And I believe that we got to come to God and actually surrender every part of our lives, which might actually mean getting out of our comfort zone and doing things a different way. And like, just because we did stuff one way back in the old days, like tradition, right? I'm not saying like tradition is totally wrong, but like, it doesn't mean it's going to work the same today. Like, we're progressively, like, my prayer is that we're progressively getting closer and closer to the full truth, right? And I'm not saying that we go and twist the word of God. No, we gotta stand on the word of God. It's getting really quiet. Cool. Now, I want to read a little bit from the message here as we continue on. See, it says, with our tongues we bless God our Father, and with the same tongues we curse every man and woman he made in his image, curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? So that's from the Message. See, what it's saying is, in other words, bitter water cannot be made sweet. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. And that dish that I made for Raina could never have been made to taste good after all I did to it. And the only way to fix it was to start again, right? I would have had to have started again with the right ingredients and the right method. Amen? You see, there's a great exchange that happens on the cross when Jesus, he turns our bitter water sweet, right? And when the bitterness actually, it can creep back in sometimes. And we can actually often try to mask that bitterness in our own way by putting, you know, a little bit of sugar in there. A little bit of equal if you're on a diet. But I don't know if you've met people and they try like really, really hard to fit in or whatever. And it's actually really easy to see when people mix their bitterness with a little bit of sweetness, but it's when it's actually about being transformed and allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in you, right? So can I just say, let the well where you draw your words from be sweet and not bitter. And dare I say it, can we actually become sweeter? Jesus actually makes us sweeter. Just imagine if we actually all yielded to Jesus and our focus was on Him and all that He has done. We would have sweeter words. Like, imagine this, as people enter into the building, into church, we're like, hi, how are you? And we're not just like, hi, how are you? And then we're like, yeah, see you later. We're like, actually, hi, how are you? How's your week? You know, how's everything going? And we actually take time to actually listen. And can I just say, can we be a church that actually encourages one another? Because there's too much in this world that would actually just put us down. Like, the world is just so discouraging. But we got to actually be encouraging. This is my cheesiest moment, but anyway, here we go. We got to have an attitude of gratitude. There, I said it. There's actually always a reason to be positive. And there's actually so much to be thankful for. And it's actually really interesting to me that there's a massive culture emerging. Like, I just caught up with a friend who's really searching for the truth. But he's like, he keeps it real and genuine. Which I don't know, but I think if we actually keep it real and genuine all the time, things can get pretty ugly. Like, things don't always go the way we want. And, like, sometimes if we're just like, oh, I'm just going to tell it how it is, I'm really angry today, and, oh, I hate the world. Like, even, like, traffic. Like, man, I used to complain about traffic all the time. It's like, oh, I hate driving. Oh. But then, you know what I did? I was like, you know what? I'm not going to allow my time driving to, like, allow me to be negative. Instead, like, what we chose to do when we used to drive out here every day, like, it was an hour and a half from North Rocks, we listened to the Bible. It was awesome. We got through like the whole Old Testament. Powerful. See, there's always a reason to be positive. And are we fully convinced about the greatness of what Jesus has done for us? Are we sweet or have we actually become a little bitter? And you know, maybe some of you are thinking, oh, well, if you're always positive, then you're not genuine and authentic. And you know, it's not about having positive words, like, you know, otherwise we'd just be like these Christian robots. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, everything is awesome. Come on. Yeah, and I'm not going to, look, sometimes you really do have to fake it. Like, can I just say, like, because when I used to play in big band, like at university, I play guitar, and boy did I fake it. Like, they were playing some hard stuff, and I was just like, yeah, like trying to. But there's power in your words, amen? There is so much power in your words, and I pray that we would actually be a church that encourages each other. Cool. Continuing on, from verse 13. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well. Live wisely. Live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. That's pretty hectic. Goes on to say, mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourselves sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others to get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. That's pretty hectic. But our culture today, we live in a selfish ambition. We're kind of taught that selfish ambition is actually okay. You know, it's all about your network and you get people to help you out and you kind of make your way to the top. But after we receive Jesus, our social approach is actually supposed to change. We become different. And I'm not saying ambition is like bad. It's a great thing, but selfish ambition is not so great. Like, ambition is, I want to do what God wants me to. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Work through me. Here is my whole life. I surrender it to you. Whatever I do, I will do it with all my might and strength, and I'm going to give my best to God every day, wherever I am. Whatever job I'm in, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to do the best. Everything my hand touches is going to prosper for the Lord. It's serving Jesus. It's following Him. And selfish ambition looks like, you know, I'm the captain of my own ship. It's my dream. I can do this. Jesus can, you know, ride in the front seat if He really wants. He can prosper me a little, that would be nice. Build up my popularity. But I'm going to do my own thing. And James is reminding us here that that's what we're not supposed to do. We're actually supposed to live our lives to honor God. It's gone really quiet. So real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. I just want to read that again. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. We've got to get along with each other. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. And you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. I love that, treating each other with dignity and honor. So let's talk sweet. Let's walk in wisdom. Wisdom is a holy life. It's gentle. Gets along with each other. Like, we're supposed to get along together as a family of believers in Jesus. And I want to ask this question. Who knows what our ministry is supposed to be? Like, by the way, it's not just me or Peter who are ministers. We're actually all ministers. The Bible actually says we are all ministers. So does anybody know what is our ministry here on earth? It's kind of a trick question, isn't it? It's actually reconciliation, if I pronounce that right. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are Christ's ambassadors. And we're actually meant to bring reconciliation, which means we're meant to connect people to Jesus. We're meant to connect people to Jesus. And we can use movies, music, art, like business, wherever we are, where we are ambassadors for Christ, whether it's at school, our universities, our jobs, in our families, like wherever we are, we're actually representing Jesus to somebody, somewhere. We're representing Jesus. And it's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just we just represent Jesus once on a Sunday. We gather together. It's all. No, we represent Jesus every single day. So the next question is, what is church here for? Like, why do we gather week after week? Church, it brings us together. And actually, church is actually really supposed to be messy, right? Because Jesus says he didn't come for the well, he came for the sick. Maybe it's a bit out there, but I was thinking the other week, like, man, how would we react if, like, I don't know, like a homeless person or someone just wandered through the door? Like, would we actually love them? And would we actually say, oh, yeah, how are you? So great that you're here. You know, come and sit with me. Here's a seat. Like, you know, I'm so convicted. I was thinking that this week. Like, what would I do? But that's what church is here for. We're supposed to be here together. And it's supposed to be a little bit messy. See, everyone comes into church with some kind of baggage in one way or another. And we need to have open hearts to each other. You know, it was saying we're supposed to get along with each other. My prayer is that we'd have open hearts to each other, and that we would actually open our dinner tables, our families, like our homes. I love Romans 12:10. It says we're actually supposed to love each other as brothers and sisters. Maybe you're thinking, oh, my brother or sister's not that great. I don't really love them. Okay, what about your best friend? Like, how would you treat your best friend or your brother or sister? Like, I know I would do anything for my sister. Like, anything. If she was going through a hard time, I would help her. I'd have no hesitation to just reach out and help her. But see, the gospel is that we're actually supposed to treat everyone is brothers and sisters in Christ. That's crazy, right? We're actually supposed to love each other. So when someone's going through a hard time, we're actually meant to help them. I'm preaching to myself. Like, as new people come through the doors, like, welcome. We got to welcome them with a smile. Help them find a seat. You know, take each other out for lunch. I love taking people out for lunch. I mean, we've got an awesome Japanese little community happening, and we often go out for lunch, and it doesn't matter, like, we'll pay, it's fine. They're students, they're family now. You know, they're our brothers and sisters, so we're going to look after them, share a meal together, get to really know each other, pray for each other. That's actually love that goes deeper than words. And how about this, instead of quarreling over different theological viewpoints, which there's so much going on at the moment, let's actually love each other. Because Jesus tells us in John 13 that if we would actually love one another, the world would actually know that we are his disciples. Isn't that a crazy thought? That if we love each other, the world would actually see we are his disciples. And we're all in this together, right? And I just want to say this, like, let's not leave this as just some sermon. I mean, because we come here every Sunday, we hear a great sermon. We're really blessed. But let's actually open up our hearts. And I just want to read this again, right? You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. treating each other with dignity and honor. See, everyone needs to be treated with dignity and honor because we are all made in the image of God. It doesn't matter who you are or what your background is. Everyone is to be treated with dignity and honor. And it's not saying, oh, it's like it's not like we're accepting their sin, but it's we're loving them, right? And it's the Holy Spirit's work to convict people. It's not our work. We are just to love people and respect everybody and give them honor and dignity. That's what James is telling us. And it's not by might or by strength, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's getting really quiet. I feel like I've been preaching so long now. Maybe I should stop. But look, just in closing, right? This church actually, it doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to the church council or the elders or we're actually it this church it's God's church, right? It's his kingdom come, his will be done. And my prayer is that God would build his church through us and that we would just yield to his lordship and